for what we have to bring you. He's excited for what he's got for you today. And we're excited just to be here, just to praise the name of Jesus, just to lift that name above all others. We're a little bit light this morning in our crowd. We've got a big group up camping a couple miles north. So we'll have some prayer for them and hope that they're having a good experience like we are. And at this point, I'd like y'all just to get up on your feet and turn around and make contact with somebody. Tell them how much you love them. Give them a big air hug. Wave at them. High fives at one another. Thank you very much. All right. We're ready to start praising the Lord a little bit, so New Hope's going to lead us now as we start our worship.
Like a cloud, we're standing with us.
You can be seated. Again, good morning. If you're visiting with us for the first time, there are some blue cards in the back of the pew in front of you. If you could fill those out for us, we'd like to have some information. And if you have prayer requests, there is a pink card in front of you. Have those and drop them in the offering plate in the back. A couple of quick announcements. First, we're not going to be having a typical VBS this year, but starting tonight, the children are invited to come join the youth, and we're going to do our best to put on a VBS program for them 3 consecutive Sundays starting tonight from 5 p.m. till 7 p.m. If you plan on coming, you know that you're coming, let Miss Joanne know. Joanne Carter, raise your hand, Junior. There she is. All right! Hey, one's enough. One's enough. All right, amen. Hey, with that being said, we also, another announcement that we have, you had an announcement come out from the church this week. All of you, your first time that you got back in here for worship, you were excited to be back in here. And the consistory of our church is doing everything we can to take care of everybody. We're trying to make the right decisions. We don't know what's happening in our world. We don't know exactly what's right and wrong. But through God's leadership, we're trying to do what's right for everybody. And we've got a large group of our consistency that is saying, our children need to be back. Amen. Our children need to hear Jesus. Mm-hmm. So we are going to try and do our best. We're going to open church back up to children of God and our nurseries beginning the week after Labor Day. So I believe that's the 12th, September 12th. We're going to be going back. We're going to need some volunteers for the nursery. So if you're interested in helping out with the nursery, please get in touch with me. Let me know. We are going to try to start up. We, at this point right now, have 7 or 8 ladies who are either getting ready to deliver or will be delivering very soon. And we've got little Theodore down there. He doesn't qualify for VBS tonight. Aww. But we're going to try and start up an infant nursery as well as our toddler nursery that we have. So that'll all go by plan, depending on how many volunteers we get. We need some help with that. So you all can join in and help with that. One way, everybody says, show me a way that I can serve God. Tell me what I can do. Well, changing a diaper and being involved is one way that you can raise the name of Jesus. Anybody can do it. If you're interested in helping out, please let us know as soon as possible. Either get in touch with me or Karen Sue, because we do require you to go through a background check in order to be with our kids, in order to minister to our kids. So she can help you with that. You come over to church, she can help you fill that, or she can just get the paperwork to you to be filled out. All right, I'll turn it back over to New Hope, and we'll get back to worshiping him.
Psalm 63, verses 1 and 2. This is the psalm that David wrote when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O God, you are my God. Early I will seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory.
Behold the breaking dawn, the light. God, your word tells us in Hebrews 13:8 that your Son, Jesus Christ, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God, we praise you and thank you that your glory, your love, and your mercy never changes.
Jesus Christ, you are my story, you are my fortress and my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold.
God, you are a mighty fortress. God, I pray that no matter what we face throughout the week, that we're able to put our full trust in you. God, that we're able to keep our eyes focused on you and your glory and your plan. God, be with Pastor Dan this morning as he brings us a new perspective on how we should go about our life. God, open our hearts to hear your word. All God's people said.
Amen. May be seated. Thank you so much for standing. I know for those of you that have been pretty regular, and I thank each one that's been. How many folks have been here all summer? Well, good. Thank you. Bless your heart. With vacations and outings and family reunions and with the plague that's upon us, I'm so appreciative that you take the time to come out to the house of God. And as I said earlier, we will have rewards if you hit a certain quota. Now, we met with the award committee again. And we were just wondering, did we set the quota too low? We are now accepting mail-in viewing. You can mail in your view, and we're counting that. But we hit our quota, so at the end of the service, after Pastor Jerry gives the benediction, we're going to ask everyone to be seated that wants to stay for the award ceremony. It'll only take about 5 minutes. I've kind of cut some time out of my message. I say that every week. It never happens. But I try to cut some time out of my message. And at the end, we will have our award ceremony. And I hope nobody's disappointed what the award is. But we're going to have our award ceremony at the end of the service, after the service. And we'll do that when we honor those that honor is due. Okay. This morning's message, a proper perspective. Well, first of all, we've got to look at that word perspective and say, what does that really mean, a perspective? Well, it has various different meanings depending on the context. It can mean a proper focus, a proper evaluation, a proper viewpoint or point of view. But ultimately, what it means is, it means a proper perspective, or any perspective, a proper is doing it right, is taking a event, any event, and putting it into its broader context so you understand what that event means in the broader context. That's the proper perspective, doing it properly. Some guys or gals are good at that, some are not so good at that. Preachers struggle with that sometimes. There was a preacher that had a very small country church, about 50 people, and they were really hurting financially. The roof was leaking, there was siding was falling off, the church was in really bad shape, and they needed a lot of funds to fix the church up, so they started a financial drive to try to raise money to fix the church. Well, even in this small church, there was two brothers, single men, that came every Sunday. The problem is these two men constantly complained, caused discord. It was a real thorn in the pastor's side. No matter what he said or did that Sunday, they always complained about it. They stirred people up. And the pastor was constantly putting out little fires that they had started. Well, as time goes on, one of the brothers dies. So the surviving brother called the pastor up and said, "Pastor, my brother's just died." And the pastor said, "I'm sorry to hear that." He said, "And I'd like you to do the funeral." And the pastor paused for a moment thinking, "Man, these two guys have been such a pain to me. I mean, but as a pastor, I have to do it." So he told the brother, said, "Sure, I'll do your brother's funeral." He said, "Well, Pastor, one thing I want you to do is I want you to tell the people that show up that my brother was a saint." And the preacher paused and said, "Oh, I just can't do that. I'm a man of God, and I can't lie and be honest with you. You and your brother have been a pain to me. And for me to stand up in front of people and say he was a saint, I just can't do it, because neither one of you have been saints. You've really been a problem to me." And the brother said, "Well, Pastor, I'm willing to give $20,000 to the building fund if you're willing to tell the congregation my brother was a saint." Pastor paused. He said, "Let me call you back." So he hung up, and he knew, "I can't tell the congregation he was a saint, because this man was anything but a saint. But boy, could we use that $20,000 in our building fund." So he looked for divine revelation. And all of a sudden, he got a proper perspective, and he believes it was heaven-bound. So he says, calls the brother back, and he says, all right, he says, I'll do the funeral. Pastor, will you tell the congregation my brother was a saint? You will hear the words. He was a saint. Are you sure, Pastor? He was a saint is what you'll hear from the pulpit. He said, well, Pastor, I'll give the $20,000. The check will be in the mail. But, Pastor, I've got to make sure. Don't worry about it. You will hear the words. He was a saint. Okay, Pastor, if you're going to say it, you'll get the $20,000. So a couple days go by, the funeral happens, and they roll the casket down front, and everybody's in the sitting in the church, and the casket is sitting in here. The pastor gets up behind the pulpit, and he looks down on the casket, and he says, ladies and gentlemen, this morning, as a pastor and a minister of the gospel, I have to be very, very truthful this morning. The man that's in this casket was one of the most deplorable, miserable, cantankerous, hateful people I've ever met in my life. But compared to his brother, he was a saint. Sometimes you got to put it in proper perspective. He was a saint. Well, listen, don't get excited about that. I hope that's not said at your funeral, okay? You know what I mean? Man, if he's got to dig that low to get it. And I want to thank Pastor Jerry. He gave me a water. You know, I normally, if I have to, take a sip. But Pastor Jerry showed me something new. I've never seen this before. It's a squared bottle. So I can set it right here and it won't roll off the podium. So thank you, Pastor Jerry, for that gift. Maybe he'll give awards out one day and you'll get your squared bottle. Amen? Huh? Okay, let's get to a proper perspective. Because I said I'd cut the message a little short for the ceremony. What we're going to look at this morning is primarily from 2 Corinthians. So if you want to turn there, if you have your Bible, get the Pew Bible, because you really would like to see this. It's wonderful. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're looking at verses 13 through 18. And we'll be using some other references, but that's where we're going to draw our main text from. Actually, 16, 17, and 18 will be the three verses we're going to look at. But this is the Apostle Paul, as best we understand theologically, sent three letters to Corinth, the church at Corinth. One of those letters was obviously lost. We have 1 Corinthians, a very corrective letter, and 2 Corinthians, a letter where he defends his apostolic ministry, he defends himself, and it's very personal about the issues he's had as a pastor, as a minister of the gospel. And we're going to draw from the Apostle Paul the whole understanding of what is a proper perspective for a Christian. I mean, if you just open the newspaper or get the daily news on the TV or radio or just have any sense at all what's going on, it's dim, it's dark, and it's dreary. But as Christians, we need to draw a proper perspective, put this event that we're living in right now in the whole context of God, who he is and what he's done for us in Jesus Christ, and work that into a proper perspective. So let me read the verse, and then we'll do a little talking this morning. What time we got? 10:30, okay. Reading 2 Corinthians 4, I'm going to be reading verses 13 through 18. Paul writes, and since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed, and therefore I spoke what I believed. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace having spread through the many may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Therefore, now, verse 16 starts off with, therefore. Therefore, looking back at the fact that we have hope and faith that Jesus Christ was raised and we will be raised and with him throughout eternity. Therefore, because of what Jesus has done for us, do not lose heart. Don't be discouraged. Don't have the three D's of life: discouraged, depressed, and defeated. We don't want that in the house of God. Do not lose heart, even though Our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a more excellent and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it upon us. And Lord, help us to see this morning what you inspired almost 2,000 years ago, that we can apply it to our lives today. May Jesus be glorified. In his name I pray, amen. Now, I just want to take a few minutes and walk you through a little bit about the Apostle Paul. He's an amazing story. If you study out the life of Paul, you have to come to the conclusion that something happened to this man that radically changed his life. And you just can't walk away from that and say, well, he was a nutcase. No, he wasn't. Something happened to Paul that radically changed his life. Now, Paul was raised a Jew. He went into the Jewish ministry, became a rabbi. He was part of the Sanhedrin. He was very influential. He was very well educated, and he was a follower of Judaism. The law was everything to Saul at that time. His name was Saul. To the point that when Jesus came on the scene, Jesus was a threat to everything Paul believed, because Jesus had a message of love and grace and mercy. And he put aside the law and said, you know, God made the law, so therefore God is greater than the law. And he pointed to himself as being God. Well, this infuriated the Apostle Paul, and Paul became a persecutor of followers of Jesus, a persecutor of Christians. And one day on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, Paul, with letters in his hands to go and lock up, maybe even kill some followers of this Jesus whom they claimed was raised from the dead. Paul didn't believe a word of it. Paul has letters in his hands, is going to Damascus, and he has, watch this now, an encounter of the divine kind. He met the living Son of God on that road to Damascus. And Jesus had a quick conversation with Paul, and everything changed. Paul had never experienced this before in his life. A light shone so bright it blinded him, and a voice told him that he was persecuting the church, and he needed basically, Paul puts his testimony in the book of Acts, you can read that in three different places. He basically says that Jesus told him that he was the church, and he was persecuting him, and that he needed to trust him as his Savior. We don't know that whole conversation that went on between Jesus and Paul. This we know, Paul's life changed forever from that moment on. Acts chapter 9, Paul got saved. Paul became a believer in Jesus Christ. And you go to just two or three verses lower than the actual salvation experience. It says, and then Paul immediately, watch this now, became a preacher of Christ. He went from being a persecutor of Jesus Christ to a preacher for Jesus Christ. All in a twinkling of an eye, the moment he got saved, he was born again, he was delivered. And if we follow out Paul from Acts 13 all the way to the end of the book of Acts, we see his ministry and journey, and it's not pretty. And we're going to read some verses this morning where Paul himself describes that ministry that he had following Jesus Christ, what that man went through. And at any point, he could have thrown his hands up and said, it's not real. I've been faking it. It was an emotional experience. But never. As a matter of fact, he ends up giving his life as a martyr for the cause of Christ, being beheaded by the Roman government. Now, what does the Roman government, the Jewish government, do with this Apostle Paul? They hated him, because he was so influential, because his story was so real, it was so true, that it affected other people. So they said, all right, Paul, we're going to lock you up for your faith. And Paul says, for me to live is Christ. No matter where you put me, I'm going to live for Jesus. Well, Paul, if that's the case, we're going to beat you beyond recognition. Oh, Paul cries out, oh, you can do that if you want, but the sufferings of this present world are not worthy to be compared to the glories God has in store for them that love him. Well, then Paul will kill you. For me to die is gain. What do you do with a guy like that? No matter what they said to him, Paul would say, it don't matter. I'm living for Jesus. I'm dying for Jesus. I'm going to be with Jesus. And until I get there, guys, you're going to hear a whole lot about Jesus. So Paul, chapter 13 to the end of the book, spreads the gospel everywhere he went. And basically, he had one message. Now, he has a lot of different shoots off of this one message, but he had one message. Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, coming again. And he put a lot of meat on that, but that's his basic outline. Died for your sins, was raised from the dead. Put your faith in him and him alone. He's coming back again to set up God's kingdom on earth. Believe it or not, that's going to happen. And by the way, folks, listen, this is the beauty of the Bible. This is the beauty of the Bible. Things change all the time. The Word of God never changes. That same Jesus is saying the same thing through this church, through you as a believer, through me. If you just let it out, he is risen. He died for our sins. He's raised from the dead, and he's coming again. I've shared this, probably even said it here, but I got to say it again. I want you all to look at this cross. If what Jesus, the Son of the living God, did on that cross for you doesn't motivate you to want to live for him, there's nothing this old man can say to make you get excited about Jesus. That's how much love he has for you and for me. And all he doesn't ask you to die for him, although one day we will die, and I hope we can show our faith as we die, but he asks you to live for him. And Paul lived every ounce of his being to please the Lord. Did he fall short? Absolutely. He even confesses that himself. Things I shouldn't do, I do do. Things that I should do, I don't do. Oh, woe is me. But blessed be the name of the Lord. So let's come to 2 Corinthians. And let me read you some passages here about this Apostle Paul and see what he went through. And I challenge you this morning, if anyone here is even close to what he went through, you need to tell me that, because you got a great testimony if it is. I'm not saying you have to go through what he went through, but this is a man that proved his faith over and over and over again that it was real. You can't make a guy do this and present a lie and stand behind it. It won't happen. That's why, you know, for me, if you follow and look at how all the apostles died, with the exception of the Apostle John, they all died a pretty gruesome death. And listen, church, not one of them said it's not real. We made it up. We covered it up. We didn't really see him. He's not alive. Every one of them died with Jesus Christ, their Savior and Lord, on their lips as they went into his presence. The Apostle Paul, and if you're following, we want to start our journey on chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, 3 through 10. If you don't have your Bible in front of you, it's not open, just listen to these words from Paul, writing to this church about himself now. It's a very personal letter. 2 Corinthians 6, starting at verse 3, we'll read through verse 10. We give no offense in anything, that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God, in much patience, in tribulations, in needs, in distresses, in stripes, that means being beaten, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fastings, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left hand, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well-known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. That sounds like a man who's really had some issues in his life. Not him, but life has brought upon him the circumstances of life. How does he get a proper perspective and live through something, all those different issues in life? Also, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. We're looking at verses 22 through 28, as Paul talks also about the trials and tribulations that he had in life. 2 Corinthians 11, 22. Are they Hebrews or Jews? So am I. Are they Israel? So am I. And are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. He's defending his ministry here against those that are accusing him wrongly. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prison, more frequently. In deaths, often at the point of death, often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. So in journeys, often in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentile. I think you get the point there. Paul went through a lot. And he could keep a proper perspective, that he could keep focused on the Lord Jesus Christ, who he was and what he had done from him and what his ministry was to the world, in spite of all those trials and tribulations and testings. So let's go back now to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And let's look at verses 16 through 18. So if we can put that up on the screen, we have what, 16? Okay, we'll take them one at a time. That's good. Is 17 separate from 18? They're all separate?
Correct.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So what we're going to see this morning real quick, just a few short minutes, what is it that allowed Paul to have a proper perspective on who he was in Christ and that he wouldn't give up and lose heart? Think about it. All the different things that came his way. What is it that Paul had in his life that gave him that proper perspective? Well, there's 3 areas that he had of proper perspective that helped him, and I believe would help you and me as we go through this world and these tribulations and trials, which are very light compared to what the Apostle Paul went through, but tribulations and trials they are. Okay, verse number 16. Here's his 3 points I want to bring out. What gave Paul a proper perspective? And as I give them, you think with me now. Because most of the time, folks, we get into our humanity instead of our spirituality. You can see that right now. You ready? Verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. What's the outward man? That's this old guy. That's what you see. I was at one church and I said, look, I'm becoming an old man. My wife yelled amen to that. And then the whole church broke up. It's true. We're all becoming older. Every day we get older. Every day the outward body is perishing. Anybody here getting better as time goes on? You got aches and pains where you didn't even know you had muscles and bones, right? The outward man is perishing. But the inward man, the spiritual man, the one that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. It's a spiritual creation, born again by the Spirit. It's a spiritual rebirth. Ephesians 2:1, I was dead in my sins and trespasses, but now he's made me alive in Jesus, spiritually. So the outward man's perishing. The inward man is being renewed day by day. So what did the Apostle Paul see here? He saw, watch this now, church, that the spiritual is more important than the physical. You got to nail that down. And I'm not being critical. I don't mean to be critical. I'm being truthful. Everyone in this room, including the old man you're looking at, spent more time this morning prepping our physical appearance than we did our spiritual appearance. I guarantee it. Well, maybe I should. Maybe somebody here fasted and prayed for 3 hours this morning. I don't know. But generally speaking, we spend more time concerned about how we look on the outside than how God sees us on the inside. We are more spiritual than we are physical. Somebody, listen to this now. In just a few short days, months, or years, that physical body is going to die. We looked at that last week. But the spiritual being is going to live on. So that tells me I am not a physical body with a spirit. I am a spiritual being that has a body, right? I'm trapped in this body. And this body is a fleshly body. This body is a sinful body. And if I let this body rule, I'm in trouble. I'm going to be what they call a carnal Christian. But bless God, if I walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, that means I let the Spirit do an override on the flesh. If you're saved this morning and you do something wrong, you'll have a conviction you're doing it wrong. But here's the problem. You do it anyway. We all struggle with that. It's called the flesh nature. But you have a Spirit inside. And the more you feed that Spirit, the Word of God, prayer to God, and develop that Spirit, the stronger that Spirit will be to override the lust of the flesh. So Paul recognized the fact, I'm more spiritual than I am physical. Therefore, I want to take care of my spiritual being. And by the way, they could torture you all you want. They want, and they did with Paul, you can't touch the spiritual man. It lives on forever. It's secure. You're going to see that at the end. We have a reservation. By the way, if you want that reservation, you got to get the right booking agent. You know what his name is? Say it, church. Jesus. That's the booking agent to get you that reservation. But Paul said, I am a more spiritual being than I am a physical being. So that's point number one. Paul says that. The outward man is perishing. The inward man is being renewed. What's number two? What else did Paul say? It says in verse number 17, for our light affliction. I like the way he describes it. Light affliction. We get upset at, well, my neighbor won't talk to me because I said something about Jesus. I'm being persecuted. What Paul went through, all those things I just read, he said, are light affliction. Why? Because I'm more spiritual than I am physical. They can beat this body up, but they can't touch my spirit. That belongs to Jesus. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, that's your life. Remember last week we looked at that. It's just a dash. It's a puff of smoke. Here, gone. Is working for us a more exceedingly and eternal weight of glory. What's happening in this life is giving you benefits in the next life. Whatever, the suffering of this present age is not worthy to be compared to what God has in store for us. And Paul says this, my future is better than my present. That's another one you got to nail down. You're more spiritual than you are physical, and you have a better future than you do present. Think with me. If you're a child of God this morning, and I pray everybody here is, if you're not, you need to be. You need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and trust Him. Believe me, He's the real deal. But I am more in heaven than I am on earth. I just haven't caught up to it yet. My future is better than my present, and my present will be over very shortly, but yet I'm there forever. So if I'm going to be there forever, and I'm going to be excited if I hit 90 years or 100 years here, that means I'm more there than I am here. Am I losing you this morning? Is that too deep? I hope that's not too. I'm more there than I am here because I'm going to be there forever. And in God's sight, I'm already there because the Bible says I'm seated in the heavens with Jesus, that right now I am glorified in His sight. I just haven't caught up to it yet. My rewards are in heaven. What I'm doing here is I'm sending lumber ahead. Okay? For any of us guys that was in the military, you get paid once a month. And hopefully you send some of that money home so mama can put it in the bank for you. Well, we're sending into eternity what we're doing here so that our rewards will be there, not here. And some of our rewards are going to be just how we lived our life for Jesus. The faithful Christian that lives his life for Jesus. So the second thing the Apostle Paul realized, it's better there than here, but I have to endure here until I get there, so I'm going to make the best out of it I can. And there's not a person in this room that can't disagree with that, what I'm going to say. And this isn't original, but it's so true. I do not fear death. Amen? I do not fear death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. I mean, you know, I don't want to die, but I don't fear death. Does that make sense? It's the process that we don't like. So number one, Paul says, I am more spiritual than I am physical. Number two, I have a better future than I have a present. But number three is awesome. Proper perspective. Number three, verse number 18. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Look, Paul realized that the unseen world is more real than the seen world. This world is constantly changing. And we're going to be leaving it in just a few short days, months, or years, whatever you have on your book in heaven. And that's unseen to us. Nobody here has seen heaven. Jesus is unseen to us. He says, blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. It's a whole unseen world that we don't have in our type of context of humanity in this physical world we're living in. And that's more real than this world, because that's where we're going to be forever. And that unseen world will eventually become seen to us when we get there. And Paul knew that. He said, I'm more concerned about the unseen world. But matter of fact, listen. Paul was called into the third heavens. Now, biblically, the third heavens, what's that mean? Well, the first heaven is that which is around us. The second heaven has the stars and the moons. And it amazes me. It, just about every year, it seems, they come up with a larger telescope that they send into outer space to see how big the universe is. And the further they send out, you know what they see? More of it. Well, I could have told them that. Saved the government a lot of money. It's endless. It's where God, the third heavens is where God dwells. And Paul said, I was caught up into the third heavens, and the things that I heard there are inexpressible. It would be unlawful for a man even to repeat what I saw. So Paul knows what he's talking about when he says, gang, you may not see it, but bless God, it's more real than here. You got to trust it. That's called F-A-I-T-H. I can believe what I don't see, and that's not a phony baloney belief. That's the real deal, because I have confidence that it's there, because Jesus told us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if it were not so, I would have told you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will call you to myself. And then we'll see that unseen world when no sight becomes sight. What a day that'll be. So three things we want to remember to give us a proper perspective in life as we journey through it. Number one, we're more spiritual than we are physical. Number two, we have a much better future than we do present. Can anybody improve on their life here? Sure, right? We can always live a little better, get a little better. Think of a place that you can't improve. That's heaven. You cannot improve heaven because it's as good as it gets. So we have a better future than we do a present. And also, the unseen world is more real than the seen world. Because one day we'll be in that unseen world that'll give sight to us and we'll be there forever. Now that gave Paul a proper perspective. I hope it gives you one, folks. We got it made as Christians. We just got to get through this thing called life. I just got to get to the other side. Oh, before I give you my quick story. 1 Peter, we finally got an amen corner here, amen. Finally, thank you. Appreciate that. Let me read to you. You don't have to look at it. As a matter of fact, I'd rather you not just sit there and listen to these words out of Peter's mouth. 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading verses 3 through 10. And these are encouraging words. This is a summary of what the Apostle Paul said there about the three things that gave him a proper perspective. Listen to these wordings. In this church, greatly rejoice. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to the praise and the glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, yet you see, though you do not see him now, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, reserving the end of your faith, even your salvation. Wow. Peter's saying, we got a great future, we got a great God, we got a great reservation in heaven. When I first did the church plant at Mount Wolf, it was a gospel arts theater. People paid to come in, and they served a meal, and they had gospel groups sing. Well, we were merging the church with the theater, and the theater still had its bookings, and the church was doing Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. So I was working with the owner, and he wanted me to MC the events. The different gospel groups introduce them and tell people about the church to hopefully grow the church. How many folks ever been to the Gospel Arts Theater, Mount Wolf? Okay, well, they used to put on a good show, gospel singing, and a great meal. So it's the second event I'm doing, and the owner takes me by the arm and says, come here, I want you to meet this young lady. So he takes me down front, and he had tables almost right up to the platform where the singers would go, and she was seated right down front. She was in a wheelchair, and this young lady was in her 20s, and she had advanced Lyme's disease, and she had, according to what Judd told me, the owner, she's probably only got about a year to live, young girl, but she had advanced Lyme disease. She was in a wheelchair, and her body was kind of slanted, and she couldn't really lift her arms up, and they had to keep dabbing her mouth because she couldn't control her saliva. And so I walked up, and he introduced me, and he says, I want you to meet this young girl. She always sits down front. She's got reserved seating. Her parents bring her to just about every program. So I went down, and he introduced me, and she couldn't hardly talk. She could, but it was hard to understand. And she gave me a greeting. I grabbed her hand and shook it and said, I'm so glad to meet her. Nice to see you here. And I would also sit down front for the show because I'd have to get up and introduce the group. So I'm looking at her while the gospel groups are singing. And they're singing their songs that are popular in Southern gospel and different gospel hits. And I'm glancing over at this young lady who broke my heart to think a lady in her 20s, they had to feed her. Folks, she was sitting there as best she could, praising the Lord. She would lift her hand up and she'd get a little bit of a smile, and I could see her lips were saying, praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. And she was getting all excited as best she could as the singers were singing. I'm saying, whoa, man, she knows she's going to die. She knows her life has been literally taken from her as a young lady. But yet she's sitting there praising Jesus. It really touched my heart, thinking, man, could I do that? I had to challenge myself. Where am I at with that? Now let's contrast that to the meal. He puts out a long buffet. People line up, they come down, they go through the buffet line, and they get their meal. And he always announced what the menu was for the meal. So on the menu was au gratin potatoes. How many folks ever know? Okay, we got some au gratin fans here? Okay. Around our house, we call it au rotten potatoes, but that's all right. That's all right. Anyway, au gratin potatoes was one of the items in the buffet line. So again, I'm down front, and the line's moving. All of a sudden, the line stops. Remember this, Judy? The line stops. And I hear this, I'm not leaving until I get my au gratin potatoes. They had run out of au gratin potatoes in the line. And this lady was throwing a fit because she wanted her au gratin potatoes, and I want them now, and I'm not moving. Well, the line's backing up. So the owner goes up there and says, ma'am, they're in the kitchen. We're bringing them down. We ran out. We had to go back and get them. Can you just kind of step back and let the rest of the line move? I'm not moving until I get my au gratin potatoes. So finally, he had to literally grab her, just kind of slide her back, so the rest of the line, and the guy finally got through with the au gratin potatoes. She got her potatoes and went and take it. Okay, where am I going with that? I'd say genuinely the greater majority of the people that attend these concerts are Christians, because it's a distinctly Christian concert. So I'm going to assume this lady was a believer. So this morning, let's compare these two people and see who's got a proper perspective. a young lady who's going to see Jesus in person not too long from where she was, praising him as best she could with advanced Lyme disease, or some lady that's upset and throwing a fit over all gratin potatoes. Now think about it. We don't need any all gratin potato Christians in this church, amen? We don't need them. We need more of the young lady in the wheelchair type. I'm just going to praise him no matter what the circumstances. Here's my prayer. And I'd ask you to share it with yourself. I got saved when I was 35 years old. I've spent the better part of my, I'm now 74, in a week. Next week's my birthday. Don't get nervous. Don't get nervous. I accept gifts up to 2 weeks after my birthday, so don't get nervous, okay? Do not get nervous. Don't get nervous. I'll be 74 next week. So I've spent the better part of my adult life trying to show and tell people how to live for Jesus. And I've asked the Lord, and he may not answer this prayer, and I'm okay with that. Either way, I win. But I said, Lord, when it's my time to go, can you give me enough time that I can show people how to die for Jesus? How I can show people what it's like to see a Christian go through a process to meet him. Not Peter, meet him at the gates. And that's my prayer to the Lord. As me and Judy are wrapping up our time here at St. Peter's, my prayer for you is that you'll just love him, serve him, and as best you can, share him. There's so many ways to share, you can use email, texting, so many different ways just to get your faith out there so people can see who you are in Jesus Christ. If you've never made that decision, I want you to make that decision this morning. You need to. Jesus is real. He wants to save your ever-living soul, and all he asks you to do is trust him and believe in him. That's simple. Anybody can do that. I'm so glad he didn't say, look, to believe in me, you got to jump up and down 10 times. I can't do that anymore. Run around this building twice. Can't do it. Put your faith in me. I can do that. I can do that. You got to acknowledge you're a sinner. He died for you and rose from the dead. And he's offering his hands right now saying, trust me. Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the joy we've had to share the word of God. May the word of God speak to hearts, Lord, and give us a proper perspective that we are more spiritual than physical. We do have a better future than a present, and the unseen is much more real than the seen. Bless our congregation, I pray, in Jesus' name, amen.
Father God, we just want to thank you so much for Pastor Dan and the message that he brought this morning. Just pray, Father God, that those words would sink into our minds and into our hearts. Father, we want to uplift Chuck and Tammy Adams before you this morning for Chuck's bone marrow transplant. Just pray that you continue to be with him. We ask you to be with Tammy's mom as well. She has kidney failure. So we just pray, Father God, that your hand would be on this family. Watch over them, Lord. Allow them to just stay focused on you. We want to pray for Julie, who is undergoing some testing for breast cancer. Just pray that you continue to be with her, Lord, and keep her positive through all this. Father, we also uplift Barb Zinn, whose husband passed away last night. Lord, we just pray that you would be with her and comfort her, Lord. Allow the family members and friends to be around her and just with this time, Lord, just give her comfort and peace, Lord. Father, we just pray that you continue to be with Kathy Baker, who's just moved into a new apartment and just still going through some challenging times and the next steps for her in her life. And we just thank you for this, Lord. We thank you for finding the apartment for her and for this. Just pray, Father, that we just continue to be with her. Father, we thank you for Jeff Miller and his 60th birthday is going to be on August 20th. We thank you for him. Thank you for the man of God that he is. We just pray you continue to be with him. Bless him on this day, Lord. Just continue to use him to glorify your name. Father, we want to uplift Ruth Miller before you too, who has got 18 stitches in her leg. Just Just pray you for continual healing in her body, Lord. Be with Christy and Mike as well, Lord, as they care for her and take care of her. And Father, we have a special praise. We thank you so much for Luke Thomas Wareham, who was born on Friday. Just pray you continue to be with Gretchen and Ryan. Gretchen had some complications, so we just pray, Father God, for a continual healing in her. And just especially put a blessing on Luke, Lord, and just be with him, Lord. Father God, as we depart from here, I just pray and I ask, Lord, that we would take what we learned here this morning. We go out into this world and we can touch and change lives. That people can see you through us, Lord. Allow us to glorify your name in all things, Lord. Let's just pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
There's the peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome. And the grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from.
Father and our God, we look forward to that day that you call our name. We ask, Lord, as we leave this place today, that you would keep us safe, that you would protect us and bring us back together again next week to lift up the name of Jesus. We ask all these things in the name of your Son who died for our sins. Amen. Thank you. You may have a seat for just a second. Pastor Dan's got a gift to give out here. But before he does, as he said, he won't be here with us next week. He's got something frivolous he's doing, something about two people pledging to live the rest of their lives together. Something silly.
Called a wedding, yeah.
He will not be here with us. He will be celebrating his 74th anniversary.
That's correct.
So I thought maybe it'd be a nice idea if we could sing happy birthday
for him today.
Thank you. Bless and you. Bubba, you can hang on the side for this one too. All right?
Happy birthday to me.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Pastor Dan. Happy birthday to you.
Folks, do me a favor. Let's all stand for a second. Now let's clap. I just want to tell the next church y'all gave me a standing ovation for my birthday. Isn't that great, huh? Hey, listen, y'all, we're done, so y'all take a seat now because the awards are going to come out to you. Okay. Wait a minute, I'm missing something here. Would the drama team please come forward? I need two over here. You guys are doing great. And two over here. We're going with an all-male team today, okay? Now, guys, we are going to show the proper use of hand sanitizer, okay? I'm going to sanitize my hand and give you all a shot in your hand and just rub your hands together so they're thoroughly sanitized. Do a good job there because you'll be using them grubby paws right now, okay? Let's all sanitize our hands so we're nice and clean. Are you sanitized?
Yes.
Are you sanitized? Sanitized? Sanitized. Okay. You took a bath, didn't you? All right. Anyway, all right. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do, the award is something I've done in just about every church I've been in that we've set a standard for and that they've come up to. I have at home a baseball card collection. I have literally thousands of baseball cards. And every church I leave, if they qualify, and I force them to qualify, I give out a baseball card to everybody. These young men, they're going to be going down the line giving you one of the cards. Now, you may say, well, okay, let me explain that card. That card is my gift to you, but I'm going to ask you to return that gift this way. If you could be so kind as to put that card in your Bible or someplace in your house that every once in a while you see it, which will remind you to pray for me. I need all the prayers I can get. In one church years ago, the first time I did this, I think it was, I said, I want you to pray for an old man named Dan and an old lady named Judy. Oh, did I get worn out after that. Oh, that'll never, ever happen again. So pray for an old man named Dan and a beautiful young bride named Judy, okay? So seriously, that's a reminder of the ministry we've had here. We've loved every minute of it, folks. You're a great congregation. I won't be here next week. The 30th, we're here. Pastor Tom is back the first week in September. I'll be here. I'm going to hand the church back to him by that baton. And then me and Judy are like the Lone Ranger and Tonto. We just get on the horse and go to the next town. So we are going to another church when we leave here. We'll be there until they find a pastor. So just be praying for us. Okay, enough of that. Now, I have to warn you. Now, just give these out, guys, as best you can. If you run out, I brought extras.
Are these rookie
cards? Oh, okay, I'm going to touch on that. Are these cards worth any money? I'm going to touch on that. Okay, Jen, go down here, and then just go down that end. Just start giving. Make sure everybody gets a card. If you don't get one at the end, raise your hand. Jerry asked, are these cards worth any money? Okay, one of the churches I was in, honestly, they're giving them out, and some guy yells out, hey, these guys are a bunch of bums. I said, you think I'm going to give you my good cards? Are you kidding me? I got grandchildren. They get the good ones, you know. But these are all legitimate professional ballplayers at some point in their career. Should be mostly Orioles and Phillies, although you should have some other ones. I did throw a couple Cal Ripkins in there for a bonus. You got a Cal? Yeah, how about that? Okay, I think that's worth a nickel. But in 300 years, it might be worth something. I don't know. So did everybody get their birthday? I mean, their award? You didn't get one, sweetheart? Okay. Anyone not get one? Okay, gentlemen. Okay, you got one. You got one. Did you get one? Okay. Wait a minute. Okay, who'd you get? Yeah, he was a bum. Only kidding. Let's give a hand for the drama team.